We have a quorum, and I'm going to call the meeting to order. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on November 30th, 2022.
I move for approval.
Okay. I'll second it, I guess. All in favor? Any opposed? The motion carries. Okay, Kathy, you want to give us the agenda items?
Sure, thank you. Ruthie, did you want to say anything before I go in, or?
Yeah, I just want to say good morning to everyone, and you know, hope you all had a really great holiday season, and just wishing everyone health and good work and prosperity in this next coming year. Also want to say thank you very much for all of the work that you all helped and supported in 2022. We had a successful year, obviously a challenging year for many reasons, which you guys have heard from Eric in our last board meeting. We expect that those will continue to be challenging in this year, but you know, a lot of work to do, and we're working through, you know, get through a pretty full 2023 and pipeline. This is the very first audit committee of many more to come this year, and unfortunately Eric wasn't available, but thank you, and I'll just turn it over. We've got a pretty full agenda today, so Kathy, do I turn it over to you?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thanks, Ruthie.
Thank you.
So we're going to start out. It's our annual meeting where we have the financial statements approved. So Mary John will be presenting the financial report for fiscal 22. We've had another successful year financially. Operating income continues to increase. And we also continue to deal with that fair market value adjustment to the investment portfolio, as we've all heard throughout the year. But Mary will go into more detail. And then Ernst & Young will present their audit report. And then after they are complete with their report, we'll ask for your approval of the 2022 financial statements. And then Ellen will present for your approval the 2022 annual investment report, followed by her usual debt and investment reports. And then Mary Hom will present her credit risk and internal audit reports. And then she will also have the annual HDC audit committee report for your approval. And that's our agenda.
Thank you. Okay, so the first item is the presentation of the corporation's financial report. Mary?
Thank you, Harry. Good morning, everybody. So as Ruthie mentioned, in spite of the ongoing economic headwinds caused by inflation and increased in interest rates, that has presented some challenges. The corporation continues to fulfill its mission to create and preserve affordable housing with few interruptions. During fiscal year 2022, the corporation early adopted Governmental Accounting Standards Board GASB Statement Number 91, Conduit Debt. As a result, conduit bonds and the related mortgage loans were excluded from the basic financial statements. Consequently, $3.2 billion of assets and equal amount of liability were carved out from the balance sheet and added as an addendum. However, there was no change to the corporation's net position. Fiscal year 2021 statements were restated to conform with the current year's presentation. In fiscal year 2022, total assets increased to $21.5 billion, an increase of $793 million, or 3.82% from fiscal year 2021 as restated. The increase was due to the strong mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year. HDC's mortgage loan portfolio, which comprised of 78.6% of total assets, was at $16.9 billion, an increase of $1.6 billion, or 10.6% from the previous year. The portfolio continues to perform well as repayments continue to remain relatively strong, and with the delinquency rate at less than 2% of monthly billings. As of the end of the fiscal year, there were no mortgages in forbearance. Total liabilities were at $17.7 billion, an increase of $537.5 million, or 3.14% from 2021, as a result of the corporation's ongoing debt and lending activities. Despite rising interest rates, bond issuances continued throughout the year with little interruption. 16 new bond series were sold, totaling $1.5 billion. Additionally, HDC signed a new loan participation agreement with the Federal Financing Bank for $46.6 million. The corporation had a total of $1.1 billion of bond repayments for the fiscal year, of which $875.7 million were bond redemptions and $231.2 million were scheduled debt service principal repayments. Additionally, there were $47.4 million in debt obligation repayments and $5.8 million of FFB repayments. Total net position of the corporation was at $3.68 billion, representing a decrease of $16.8 million or 0.45% over the prior year. This decrease was solely due to the recording of an unrealized loss of $368.4 million fair market value adjustment on the investment portfolio. We've been experiencing this adjustment throughout the year, and I just want to remind the members that the corporation intends to hold these investments to maturity, so the likelihood of realizing that loss is very minimal. Yeah. And currently we have enough liquidity to manage this. Operating income was at $296.8 million, which generated from interest on loans and mortgage-related fees, less bonding costs and operating expenses. This was an increase of $52.3 million, or 21.4% from last year's operating income, and is related to the corporation's normal operating activities. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our Deputy Controller, Mr. Chuck Hugh, and the rest of the accounting staff for their tireless work throughout this year's audit. This concludes my remarks. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Harry, I just have one question. Mary, the exclusion of bonds and loans from the balance sheet, is that a new thing, or is that a because of where we are in the economic universe, or is that something you have historically done?
That's a new GASB pronouncement. So every year, GASB come out with new pronouncements.
Oh, okay.
So this year, the one we adopted is about conduit debt. So the GASB, in the past, the GASB issuers had the option of either putting the conduit debt on their balance sheet or not. And they gave you three criteria to see if it fits. And so we went through the bond issue and the conduit bonds, and they all fit the criteria that HGC is not really, the mortgage is not really obligated to HGC to pay the debt service, because all those bonds are credit enhanced mostly by Fannie and Freddie. So they have the risk. And then since those are not priority bonds, they all stand alone. So we were able to just carve them out. And the bonds and the mortgages are about the same balances. So they were equal on both sides. So that's why I mentioned that there's no change to the net position. Our net position was the same. So it's just a new GASB pronouncement. And we are continuing to record all the transactions, but just for the basic statements that in the financial statement or the enterprise fund, we took them out separately. So we have separate financials for them as an addendum in the statements, in the financials.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. The Ernst & Young audit report, Danielle.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you. Great. Good morning, everybody. My name is Danielle Hurlburt, and here from the EY audit team to present our fiscal year 22 audit results for the corporation and a few of the other deliverables that we'll talk about that I know that everyone received in their packet. With me today on my side is a senior manager who has joined the audit team since the last time that we met with you. And so just wanted to give him a chance to introduce himself. His name is Rob Heffelman. And maybe I'll just let him say a quick hello to the committee and management.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle. Good morning, everybody. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. As Danielle mentioned, my name is Ralph Heffelman. I'm a senior manager with the firm, been with us for about 12 years, performing audits across a variety of industries and size and scale and scope. For the last 5 years, I've been supporting our overall government and public sector practice, which, you know, ultimately, given the nature and the mission of New York City Housing Development Corporation, fits within the mold of that. So appreciate the opportunity to join this team. It's been a great ride so far, and looking forward to finishing out this fiscal year.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Rob. I'll let Rob, I think Rob's going to share our presentation. I know it was included in everyone's materials, but we thought we'd bring it up on the screen just as we talked through this for a couple minutes today on your agenda. And so maybe I'll first just start by saying thank you for the time on the agenda today. I know you have a lot to go through. And I know that materials were sent in advance, so we won't speak, you know, in specific detail on maybe every page of this presentation, but just want to touch a couple of highlights and certainly give time for questions and stuff around our audit procedures. So if we flip to the next slide, Rob. Just a reminder on our 2022 audit services. So audit services and the deliverables that we will be issuing financial statement opinions around or opinions around, I should say, are consistent with prior years, what I will just say. And so maybe just a reminder that we are doing our audit of the financial statements, which Mary just presented. And in addition to the audits of the audit of the corporation's financial statements for 2022, we will also issue a schedule of investments as we do each year. Along with that, we will also issue and finalize in consistent timing our audit of the it's called the Uniform Guidance Audit, really a federal grant audit that is done on an annual basis. And so, again, a reminder that that is one of the deliverables that we are working on. Concurrently with the corporation's year-end audit. And then maybe a final item is the report, the last item on that page there, which is the report on compliance with minimum servicing requirements. And so again, consistent items that we are auditing and will issue opinions on as prior years, but just a reminder to everybody that those are the items that we are auditing as part of our audit services. And I know that in your materials, drafts of all of our opinions and those draft reports were provided for each of those deliverables. And so then maybe I'll skip to the starts. Just move to the next page where we've got an executive summary. And so I'll speak off of this for a minute. But I think this is a good snapshot of really the audit results. And you know, what I will say is really to this point, clean audit results. We expect to issue unmodified opinions at this point. And certainly, if anything were to change with those results between now and the end of the month, we do hope to finalize our audit reports for all of these deliverables by the end of the month, which is consistent timing with prior years. And so certainly, if anything were to change, as we are still in our wrap-up procedures and review steps that happen for all of these deliverables, but what I'll say is that to this point, no expectation of issuing anything other than those unmodified opinions. And really, you know, I think a few bullet points there that are a good summary. You know, the analysis by the corporation's management team of accounting matters is appropriate based on our audit. We believe that there are reasonable judgments and consistency that's been used when preparing the financial statements, especially around things like estimates that need to be done by the management team. I'll also note that there have been no corrected or uncorrected audit adjustments or misstatements. And so really that means that the financial statement packages for each of the deliverables that are provided to us as the auditors are now the deliverables and the financial statement packages that you are seeing. Really just means that as a result of our audit, no misstatements and no corrections to those financial statement amounts. And so maybe then I'll just touch on our digital audit, which is consistent with prior years as well. So some procedures that we are doing around and utilizing data analytics and our use and auditing of the mortgage receivables and revenue recognition, also on the operating expenses. And so, you know, what I will say is that use of data analytics is consistent with prior years. It continues to be what we think is a great effective and real value add kind of tool that we are allowed to do with the related to the auditing of these areas. The last thing I'll maybe point out on that page is, you know, on the bottom left there, just a reminder, as I said, that there are some items that we are continuing to work through as we finish and close out these audits by the end of the month for each of the deliverables. And so really just a few open items that we have noted there as part of our process. But as I said, you know, if anything were to change with our conclusions here in these audit results, we would reach out to the committee members before finalizing reports by the end of the month. And so maybe then I'll just go move to the next page, which is what we call sort of our areas of emphasis of the audit. and was not going to go through the specifics of each of these in detail. This is consistent with our audit plan that we presented at your October meeting. So if everyone recalls, we were here and went through the planned procedures for all of what we would call the areas of emphasis of the audit. Really, these are all the material financial statement line items of the financial statements. And so we talked about our planned audit procedures. And what I will say is that the procedures that we have now executed are consistent with the plan, consistent with prior years. And as I've said, no findings or issues to note to date. You know, maybe one thing I'll just quickly touch on is that a lot of these areas around investments and cash, accounts receivable, and bonds and debt are areas where we rely on confirmations to external parties. And so what I will say is that, you know, we are 100% complete with that confirmation process around the cash, investments, and the liabilities. And then our mortgage receivables are about 80% complete at this point. So some follow-up that's being done by the team at this point, but expect to bring that to conclusion soon. And so then maybe I'll just move forward to our required communications that are on page 6. I wasn't going to go through this in detail. I think that my comments already have really covered all of the important items here, but just want to point out that those items are here in writing for the committee members as are required by our standards. But I think that in my comments so far, I've already, you know, touched on everything. And maybe just my final comment around our opinions is to, as I've said, you know, expect to issue unmodified opinions on each of these deliverables. If you have read through or looked at our opinions, the format of our audit opinions might look a little bit different. The ordering of some of the paragraphs within the opinions have changed, and that's really just due to an accounting kind of update from what the governing body, the AICPA, that has releases guidance and sort of governs the format and content of our audit opinions. But what I'll say is at the end of the day, it's getting to the same point of, as I've said, clean opinions that we expect to issue. And so really, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the comments that we wanted to make. Just want to say a really big thank you to Kathy, Mary, and Chuck and their teams. You know, working through these audits concurrently in the cycle is a lot of effort by the team. And so really want to thank them for all of their support of the audit process as they do each year.
Any questions, Denise?
No.
Okay. Thanks. Then we'll go on to the next item. It's the approval of the corporation's fiscal year 2022 financial statements. And do I have a motion?
I move.
Okay. Second?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Okay, the next item is the approval of the corporation's annual investment report. Ellen?
Thank you. The New York City Housing Development Corporation is submitting its annual investment report for the corporation and its subsidiaries pursuant to Section 2925 of the Public Authorities Law of New York State. The report presents the corporation's investment record for fiscal year 2022. As required by the statute, the report includes the investment record of the corporation, the investment guidelines as approved by the members on January 14, 2022, and the results of the annual independent audit in draft form. This report also includes descriptive charts on HTC's investments and investment environment and a counterparty credit risk exposure summary. Earnings on investments totaled $52.76 million in fiscal year 2022. This is an increase of $780,000 from fiscal year 2021, due mainly to an increase in reinvestment rates during fiscal year 2022. The current inverted yield curve environment and higher short-term rates are factors to consider in the corporation's ongoing investment strategy. Because of the corporation's commitments, the majority of investments must be held for the short term, which provides sufficient liquidity for the corporation. In response to the current interest rate environment, the corporation continued to invest primarily in collateralized demand deposits certificates of deposit, guaranteed investment contracts, and direct purchases of U.S. Treasury and agency obligations in order to optimize yield. As required by GASB Rule Number 31, the corporation has recorded a fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio. The corporation recorded a net depreciation of $368.4 million for fiscal year 2022. As part of the corporation's investment policies, it looks to invest its bond and corporate-related reserves and securities with the intent to hold the investment to maturity. As a result, any unrealized appreciation or depreciation is only reported as an accounting gain or loss at this time. HGC's funds under management decreased approximately 25.86% from fiscal year end 2021 to fiscal year end 2022, from $4.9 billion to $3.7 billion. This is mainly due to less debt issuance and increased mortgage loan advances during the fiscal year. The corporation had a 0.45% decrease in net position over the last year due to the unrealized loss on the fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio, as we described above. Consolidated investment income was $52.76 million. Of this amount, $34.43 million, or 65.26% of the consolidated investment income, was attributable to the bond programs and HPD-related investments, and therefore was not available to the corporation. An additional $2.54 million was earned by and retained within REMIC and HAC. The remaining $15.79 million of earnings is pledged to ongoing affordable housing programs of the corporation. HGC did not incur or pay any fees, commissions, or charges for investment services. Treasury operations are conducted by the corporation's cash management division, which uses electronic and telephone bidding processes to competitively purchase securities that meet the corporation's investment guidelines and funding needs. Oversight is provided internally by an investment committee, by various reviews by HGC's credit risk and internal audit units. There are also investment and credit risk reports presented at each meeting of the corporation's audit committee and an annual examination by our external auditors, Ernst & Young. The corporation's investment guidelines were last approved by the audit committee members on January 14, 2022, and ratified the board on March 15, 2022. Upon approval by the audit committee and ratification by the board, the report will be submitted to the mayor and both the city and state controllers as required by the public authorities law. Excuse me. I'll be glad to answer any questions about the 2022 annual investment report or the investment guidelines. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
If there are none, the corporation requests that the members approve the 2022 annual investment report and readopt the investment guidelines without any changes to these guidelines at this time.
Okay. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Being none, the motion carries. And the next item is the debt report. Ellen, you're back on stage.
Thank you, Harry. So the corporation's debt report is as of November 30th, 2022. Last debt report presented to audit committee was as of October 31st, 2022. During this month, the corporation did not issue any bonds, and there are bond redemptions in three series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $44.59 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of November 30th, 2022 is approximately $14.5 billion, and the corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $18 billion. Any questions?
Okay. There being none, then we'll go on to the investment report.
Okay. Thank you. Corporation's investment report is as of December 14th, 2022. The funds under management total approximately $4.8 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity of the corporation. Any questions?
Okay. There being none, then go to Mary for the report on the HGC credit risk exposure.
Thank you. Good morning. The report before you is dated as of December 31st, 2022, and the previous report to the Audit Committee was dated October 31st, 2022. There were no rating agency actions of note, and there was one new approved counterparty, East West Bank. East West Bank is a California-based savings bank that has several branches in New York City. The bank is rated BBB plus by S&P and is approved for money market investments that are collateralized by a Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit. HGC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit covering 23 projects. Investments rated AA or higher were 56% of total investments versus 58% at the last report. And investments rated BBB or not rated were 18% of total investments versus 14% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high quality U.S. Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. Finally, HDC exposure to liquidity providers increased $100 million to approximately $484 million due to the issuance of the 2022 Series F3 bonds. Are there any questions?
There being none, Murray, continue please with the internal audit report.
Sure. Since the last report to the Audit Committee, Internal Audit completed the annual employee certification of the Code of Ethics and one internal audit. With respect to the Code of Ethics, each year HDC employees are required to affirm and certify that they have read and understand the HDC Code of Ethics, and this process was completed for 2022. With respect to audit activity, Internal Audit completed the petty cash audit. Our audit objectives were to determine whether adequate internal controls exist to ensure that the cash asset was safeguarded and maintained in the proper amount. Petty cash disbursements were in compliance with the corporation's policies and procedures, and the Empress Fund was properly authorized, processed, and reconciled. We found the corporation's guidelines for petty cash to be effective and found no matters involving internal controls in its operation that we consider to be material weaknesses. I remind the members that the petty cash audit is required to be performed each year pursuant to the 2003 Memorandum of Understanding between HDC and the City's Department of Investigation. And that concludes my internal audit report. Are there any questions?
Okay. There being none, do I have a motion to approve the HDC audit committee?
Oh no, I have to present that first.
Oh, you okay?
Okay. So I'm pleased to request the members' approval of the 2022 audit committee report. Pursuant to the New York City Comptroller's Directive Number 22, the audit committee is required to publish an annual report detailing its activities and decisions for the prior calendar year. The report is a compilation of the minutes from the audit committee meetings that occurred during the year ended December 31st, 2022. A copy of the report will be submitted to the Secretary for the Audit Committee of New York City.
Okay. So now,
yes.
Do we have a motion to approve? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other business?
I just have a question that's off the agenda, but I did hear the mayor speaking earlier this morning, in fact, about his decision to eliminate 50% of vacant staff positions, I guess, across the board. And it seemed troubling to me, especially as it relates to HPD. So this may not be an appropriate question for this committee, but maybe you can just convey my concern to Eric.
Denise, we definitely will. I mean, I think it's in all of our interest to make sure that this situation gets resolved. I mean, we at HDC have been feeling the pain of it as well, because we've picked up, you know, some of the work. So we will definitely raise, and, you know, we're in, as you know, constant discussions and conversations with our partners over there to sort of help wherever we can, but also so that, you know, the proper things that, you know, the hiring that needs to happen happens.
Because I do get calls now more frequently from people, mainly developers and not-for-profits, for-profit. Everybody's complaining about the slow pace of activity coming out of HPD. That the commissioner, and he and I have talked, he's trying to do hiring. Just seems like this decision is inconsistent with what the need of at least that. I don't know about all the agencies, but that particular one.
Yeah, we will definitely pass that on. And, you know, it's concerning. And I think we're obviously doing what we can to move everything forward. And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of this meeting, it is going to be a very busy 2023. And, you know, some of our activity actually that's going to keep us busy is on the PACT front. We mm-hmm. had a very quiet year in 2022, but there's a pretty aggressive agenda for 2023. And that is something that, you know, it definitely keeps us all very busy, but it's a lot of that work is between NYCHA and HDC. And we are, even though some of those deals will now come with city subsidy, we at HDC between us and NYCHA are sort of doing that work for HPD so that we're not increasing the workload and then impacting, you know, other things. But okay. it is a concern. And, you know, we also deal with our developer partners, you know, for profit, not for profit.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a general question, even though Eric's not here. Are we going to get involved with the governor's plan announced a couple of days ago for housing? And I guess as a corollary, are we going to get involved in any of the conversion of office towers to affordable housing?
So I think there is a really aggressive agenda on the state side. You know, a lot of the finance, as far as like involving and sort of the financing, that as normal happens between the state and the city and HPD. So for purposes of that pipeline, we won't. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that hopefully will happen this year. One is obviously like the 421A stuff and putting in a new abatement in place, I think. Wherever that lands, there are still discussions, and that's something that will help move things along on the city side and get some housing done that way that doesn't necessarily have financing from us. And then, Harry, with respect to the question on the office towers conversions, we have a team here that has been involved in a lot of discussions with different agencies, planning and other neighborhood strategies with HPD and also the Department of City Planning around what that looks like. And some of those conversations have actually happened with OMB as well. So there could very well be something that HDC gets involved. On the financing side, I think people are really looking to do something without financing and really more, you know, trying to leverage getting affordability through potential a potential tax abatement that will help that. And the conversations are really around that. And that's what our work has been geared towards so far.
Okay. Well, thanks for filling me in. is there any other business? There being none, I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries, and the meeting is now adjourned.